Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Today's episode is Chef Got Married. So what? Yes, I got married a week ago. By the time you hear it, it would probably be like a month. I got married. I didn't tell anybody. And that's how we wanted it, or that's how I wanted it. So this is what happened. I got engaged in March, which I wasn't expecting, you know, if you listen to the episode. And I was super happy. You know, everything was beautiful, everything was perfect, and it just was a beautiful day. I wasn't expecting this ring, and everything just felt right. So when we were talking about the wedding, you know, I'm not secretive about my past. I was married before in my 20s, and it was a beautiful wedding. It was beautiful. I had all the steps that you would have in a traditional American wedding. You know, I had bridesmaids. I had a maid of honor. I had a bridal shower, engagement party. I got married in a beautiful place. We had a reception, a dinner, a sit-down dinner. Everything was perfect, except for the actual marriage. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what you do or what kind of wedding you have. All that matters is, does it feel right to you? Whatever you do and the way you do it, does it feel right to you? People are gonna judge, people are gonna give their opinion no matter what. And as perfect as my wedding was when I was 27, it wasn't about me. You know, yes, it was because it was my wedding, but it was about my family. You know, my family had their opinion. My ex's family had their opinions, and everyone's giving a little bit of money, you know, so you're adding in what they want. And then on the actual wedding day, everyone's dramatic. Everyone wants what they want. And I don't know, like, it was a great day. I have really beautiful memories. At the same time, I wanted this day to be about me and my husband. I have friends that have been married for, I don't know, like 20 years at this point, 15, 20 years. The whole time, from my divorce till now, you know, they've been married. They've had kids. They've had their life. You know, some of my friends got divorced. You know, they got married in their 20s, divorced in their 30s. I wish everyone the perfect partner. I really do. I wish everyone who gets married endless happiness, endless bliss, and all the good things. Because that's what a marriage should be. You know, it should be this positive, beautiful thing of two people growing together, fulfilling each other's dreams, supporting each other, and just a hopeful, beautiful thing. That's what marriage should be. In a lot of cases, it's not. You know, because you end up changing a part of yourself if it's not the right person. Maybe both of you change to try and make it work. Maybe someone is more selfish than the other. Maybe someone is more controlling than the other. Whatever. There's so many walks of life. There's so many different dynamics. And for me, had I listened to my inner voice, had I listened to that feeling, you know, those tiny, tiny hairs that stand up on your neck when something isn't right. Had I listened to that when I was proposed to at age 25, because I had a 2-year engagement, things would have gone differently. I should have said no. I think I should have said no. Like, I know I should have said no. But if I didn't live that, if I didn't go through with that, I wouldn't have known, because I wasn't as developed as I am now. You know, part of what I've gone through has made me wiser. And that's what life is. You experience life, joys, a lot of pain, and you grow, hopefully, you know? And I believe I've grown, okay? So, like, in this 14 years since I've been divorced, I've wanted that person. You know, I've dated a lot, and I'm a hopeful person. I don't believe I force myself onto other people. You know, I want just a positive relationship where two people can grow together. You know, you get to know somebody, you date them, 2 years goes by, okay, that doesn't work out. You go out with somebody else, oh, 3 years goes by, oh, okay, that's over overnight. You meet somebody else, another 2 years goes by, and before you know it, it's been like 14, 15 years later, and you're like, what the fucking fuck? Like, excuse me, but seriously, you know? And in that time, like, so much shit happens. Also, beautiful things, but it's the shit in your life, right? It's the horrible shit that makes you learn, that rocks you so hard that you're just like in disbelief in this gut-wrenching pain. And you're like, oh my God, what just happened? You know, but you make your way through as much as you can, and you live another day and you meet somebody else, okay? And that's what happened with me. I met somebody where I least expected it. You know, I was feeling so good on that trip when I visited San Diego. I had gone on these stupid dates. When I went to San Diego, I'm like, yes, let me do this by myself because I know I'm going to have an awesome time because I enjoy spending time with myself. Okay, because every time I tried and dated somebody, it wasn't that good feeling. You know, it was the hairs on my neck that told me, no, this is not that person. I met somebody where I least expected it. And, you know, when I would go on dates, like on dating apps mostly, right? Because now if you meet somebody in the wild, it's weird because I don't know. It's just considered weird now. I don't know. And people, I don't know if I give these vibes or if I gave these vibes to men, but men would just force themselves onto me very quickly, you know? And I just wanted to get to know somebody. Like, I'm not trying to sleep with you. I just want to get to know you, right? Like, for a couple weeks here. Like, why? Why on day one does it have to be more? You know, are there no more gentlemen out there? Why is everything about more than that? And the thing is, it's not more than that. You know, it's just, it's so shallow now. Everything is just this base emotion of sleeping with somebody. And honestly, it just gets boring. Okay? It just gets boring. People are interesting. People have led these amazing lives, and that's what I care about. I want to get to know you. I mean, does nobody want that anymore? So the point is, I was wrong, okay? People still want that. And in my case, when I least expected it, it happened, okay? Like, I met this amazing person, and he was living in San Diego. I was living in Aspen. And I think because of that, it actually opened me up more. There wasn't this pressure, okay? There wasn't this, like, on day one where both, you know, undressing or... It wasn't about that. It was about getting to know this other person. And that's what I loved about it, you know? Because we weren't in the same town, in the same city, in the same state, we were forced to get to know each other in a different way. And it just released so much pressure for me, and I loved it. You know, we met on the plane, and a few days later, we talked every day. Now, we didn't actually spend time with each other in person until like 5 weeks later. you know. But when we finally met in person, we had talked so much and we got to know each other in these different ways that already there was something deeper. Already we were more comfortable with each other. And it just started out very differently. And it just took off so much pressure. And I think for me, that was such a positive thing. So yes, I just moved to San Diego a few weeks ago. And it was about a week and a half after moving here that we flew to Las Vegas and we got married. We got married and we planned it, but I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my friends or family. Like, they knew I was engaged. And my dad asked me, you know, what are you thinking? Like, do you want to get married soon? And I'm like, yeah, we think we might get married in Las Vegas. He's like, oh, you know, that's great. Like, he was just very, like, supportive. And everything was casual. You know, there was no pressure. And he's the only person that I really told that this might be happening sooner. I didn't give any dates. And we didn't really know up until a few weeks before, you know, on our actual date. And I didn't tell my closest friends or family the exact date, and I didn't tell them we were going to get married. I mean, obviously, we were engaged, so yes, we were going to get married at some point. But everyone had their opinion, you know, and that's fine. Like, I have friends, they support me, but they also look out for me, right? So one of my friends was like, oh, okay, like, this is happening faster than I thought this would happen. You should at least wait a year. And I'm like, okay. You know, but everyone's giving their opinion. That's fine because they know my past. They know what I've been through. At the same time, they're not in my shoes. Okay, I'm the one that's in this relationship. And nobody knows about anybody. Okay, nobody knows what happens behind closed doors. You're the one who's with this person. You're the one who's with this person day in, day out. It's up to you how you want to live your life. It's up to you what you want to do. And that's just how I felt. I don't think I had to convince my friends, oh, this is what I want. And maybe had I told them, yeah, we're getting married on this date. I just didn't want to deal with people saying, oh, this is happening very quickly. Are you sure? You know, I didn't want them to doubt me or have this doubt in me. I didn't want it planted in any way. So I didn't tell anybody, you know, and it's not because I didn't believe in what I was doing was right, or it doesn't matter. Like, it's for me, right? Like, I'm the one who's getting married and this is what I want. We love each other. And most of all, most importantly of all, time does not matter. Okay. Like, I just feel I've met the right person. I want to support this person in, like, a positive way, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. And I want this person to feel the same way toward me. And I believe we do. Like, I really feel that. And okay, am I supposed to wait a year just to make everybody else feel better? Is that what's acceptable? You know, like, I was with the wrong person for 10 years. That's 10 years of my life, okay, that I was with this wrong person. I just don't feel like I want to wait another 10 years. I don't want to wait 1 year, okay? I want this now. And it couldn't have been more perfect. I love that we didn't tell anybody. You know, all I did was hire a photographer that I found on this app, Thumbtack. He took awesome pictures. We flew to Las Vegas. The photographer knew an officiant as a friend, so I got in touch with the officiant. And at first, I was looking at these chapels in Las Vegas, and they were so cheesy. But I'm like, okay, I mean, it's a low cost. You know, I didn't want to spend all this money because weddings are one of the most expensive things, along with divorces, right? They're both super expensive. I just didn't want it to be about money. You know, I wanted it to be nice. So it was just the two of us. We had the photographer, the photographer's wife, who helped the photographer and who fluffed up my dress for the pictures. We had an officiant who was a friend of the photographer, and she was great. And through the photographer, you know, because I suggested these chapels, but then he suggested this canyon. It's outside of Las Vegas. It's called Red Rock Canyon. And I looked into it and I loved it. You know, I love the outdoors. I love hiking. And I just thought, yes, like, it's such a natural, beautiful spot. Why choose these cheesy chapels that are basically factories? You know, originally I had chosen a chapel and I booked them. I paid like $300 to book them for this plan. They have certain plans. And with this plan, you get like a rose. You get five pictures. You know, it's like a lame plan. But that's what comes with it. You're like, okay, I guess I'll hold a rose. And so I booked it and like saved the date. But then like they sent me a contract and I read the contract. And in the contract, it says you cannot have an outside photographer, you know, but all that was included in this plan was like five photographs. And they're only photographs that are taken at the chapel. I wanted some at the Las Vegas sign. I wanted some somewhere else and maybe more than five, you know. So I didn't know this until later. And I contacted the chapel and they said, yes, you cannot have an outside photographer. If you want an outside photographer, you have to pay an extra $500, and which is more expensive than the actual ceremony itself at the chapel. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I said no. And then I tried to cancel and nobody would take my call. Like, they avoided me, you know. And thankfully I booked it 30 days before the actual wedding. Had I booked it in that 30 days, I wouldn't have been able to get my money back. Even though they kept $100, I was able to get $200 back. Point is, I told the photographer and he suggested Red Rock Canyon. And that's when I looked into it and I had to get a permit because it's a national park. Even though it's weird because the spot where we got married, it's kind of the entrance of the canyon, which is open to the public, but I still had to get an actual permit, which was like $130. But everything worked out, you know, and the photographer picked us up. So we flew to Las Vegas. We also picked Las Vegas because neither of us had any friends there. So had we gotten married in San Diego, he has friends here. So we didn't want anybody to be left out, you know, or feel offended if we didn't invite the people that lived close by. So we decided, okay, let's not invite anybody and let's just do it with two of us. We stayed at the Luxor Hotel, which the Luxor is fine. You know, I've been going there since, I don't know, the first time I was in the Luxor was in 1992. My family and I, we visited the U.S., and this is the first time I visited the U.S. We flew from England when we were living there, and we flew to L.A. We rented a motorhome, and we drove to Yosemite, we drove to Lake Tahoe, and from there, we drove to Las Vegas. And we stayed everywhere, like camping spots and KOAs, like those COA campgrounds. And when we were in Las Vegas, we did like a couple days there, and from Las Vegas, we got this tiny, like 8-seater plane, tiny, and we flew to the Grand Canyon, and we got pictures taken of the Grand Canyon, and then flew back a few hours later. It was like this crazy day, and we were so tired later that day, and it was hot, because this was in, I want to say July, August, like it was in the hot season. So we did all that, and that was the first time I saw the Luxor, and I'm thinking, oh my God, it's a pyramid. There's palm trees all around it. You've got, you know, this whole Egyptian scene, and it's pretty impressive. And when it first opened, theme parks were all the rage everywhere. Theme parks in the 90s were huge. So every hotel that opened up had its own theme park and roller coasters. So the Luxor had its own water ride, and you're riding through the River Nile. You know, that's how they sold this ride. So we went on this whole water ride inside, you know, the Luxor, and they had this whole Egyptian theme going around it, which is so funny because I just like remembered that when we went there. So yeah, that was the first time I was in Las Vegas. And obviously, you know, I've lived in LA, and from there we did a lot of like weekend trips with friends and all that. So I've been to Las Vegas quite a few times. I would have loved to have stayed at like the Aria Hotel or the Bellagio or the Wynn, but oh my God, prices for hotels are so crazy. They're like, depending on the night, because Friday, Saturdays are the big hot ticket nights, right? Everything's like $400 a night plus. And the Luxor was the least crazy. So we flew on a Sunday because you're passing, you know, the expensive nights. And then we stayed there for 4 days. We flew in. We got our marriage license, which is, it's off the strip, straight from the airport. We got an Uber and we drove to get our marriage license. We filled everything out online like a couple weeks prior. And then you show up, you show your ID, and they give you a license. And it's the fastest thing ever. You know, it's like, it's kind of weird because it's so easy. Like you just, we filled it out online, all our information. They print it out, you check it, make sure there's no mistakes. And then before you sign it, you have to swear an oath. Like you have to say an oath. So the person swore us in, but before, like I started to sign before she said you can sign. She's like, no, don't sign. I'm like, what? And I'm like, why? And she's like, you have to say an oath. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. She said, that's okay. You can finish signing if you didn't. I'm like, I finished. So then she's like, repeat after me. I swear, you know, and every two words you're repeating. And I don't even remember the oath. I just remember she looked at us so, so seriously. Like her eyes were watching our lips to make sure we're fully invested in this. Like this is the real deal. And she was so serious. Like saying the oath was more serious than signing. You know, in Europe, as long as you sign something, it's official, 100%. But it seems like in the US, saying an oath, that's like the number one most important thing ever. Same when I became a citizen. Like it was so, so serious, this oath. It's so serious. So we said the oath and then we signed officially and then we paid. You have to pay like $107 and that's it. Then we got our marriage license. So the next day we wake up and my husband is Brazilian and he loves chimarrão, which is this, it's this yerba mate tea. And it's like the real deal. You put it in this cup, which is made out of like a tree husk or something. Like it's like a special cup. And you put the yerba mate in there and then you pour some water and it doesn't cover the whole thing. Like there's a lot of tea in there and you pour hot water and then you have this special straw. It's not like a normal straw. It's a special straw that kind of filters out all the like thick tea. It's not fully powder and it's not a full plant. It's like in between powder and a plant, like all these little sticks. So the straw kind of filters it out, but it does get stuck in this straw. You drink it and you keep refilling the water, you know, and over time, this powder, this tea gets less and less and less. So he has to have this every morning. In the morning, he's like, how shall I get my hot water? You know, we were staying at the Luxor, so it's a huge hotel. We were on the 15th floor. We had a corner suite, which I booked. I wanted it because it has our own tub, like giant tub. It's not a hot tub because it didn't have jets, but it's a giant two-person tub. I mean, I suppose it could be four-person tub. Like, it's big, okay? And that's what really makes me happy, is this giant tub, like, for real. So I booked it with this tub thinking this is what I want, because the Luxor wasn't as crazy as these other hotels. And these other hotels, you know, they're beautiful, but they were like $400 a night. The Luxor was not. And it had a beautiful tub. So you walk into the suite. It has a good size bathroom, you know, just a shower with a sink. And then you walk in, there's this closet. If you go straight, there's a king bed. And if you continue, there's this giant tub. And of course, it's a pyramid hotel, so the ceilings are slanted. And then there's a window looking right outside, and you can see some of the skyline of Las Vegas. But if you go back to the entrance, you know, it's a corner suite. So if you go around the corner, there's this whole other section with a TV and like this living room with this sectional couch. Like, it's a big suite, you know, and it was really nice. So we go to bed, and the next morning, my husband asks me, how shall I drink the tea? Like, where am I going to get hot water? And I said, well, I guess you could like go downstairs or something. He's like, no, I'm gonna use hot bath water. And I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Like, it was right before we went to sleep. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I don't know, but okay. So the next morning, you know, he uses the bath water. But the thing is, Las Vegas, I mean, this is the U.S., right? It's not an issue that I found to drink tap water. I mean, I put it through a filter. I'm not saying it's like the best water ever. I've noticed differences. You know, in New York, the tap water is really good because it comes from the reservoir in Central Park. And it's for real, like really good water. I mean, you know, all these pizza shops, right? Like, they use the New York water and they swear by it. They swear that it's the water that makes their pizza amazing. Like, it's New York water. It's New York City water, right? Like, and some pizza shops in LA, they say they get their water flown in from New York to make New York pizza. And I'm like, really? You know, but I swear. You know, and they say they use the water for the pizza crust and for the mozz cheese, the mozzarella. So I've had New York water. It tastes great. Nothing compares to Aspen tap water. I mean, you're surrounded by glaciers. You're surrounded by melted snow, you know, in the summer. There's snow on the mountains like all year. I mean, of course, that's the best water. It's amazing. You're surrounded by all these rivers, and all that water comes from the mountains. You know, the least good water from the tap I've had would be in LA. You know, you can smell the chlorine, and some days it's stronger than others. So yeah, but still, I would drink the tap water and it would be filtered. But I've seen these documentaries on Vegas, and obviously it's in the desert, right? So there's short water, and everything's coming from Lake Mead, which is drying up because you've got like four states using the water. So anyway, he took the bath water for his tea. He didn't like reheat it because we didn't have a heating device. He just used the water, and it didn't come out fully hot. So it came out kind of lukewarm, and then he drank it. And I had one, and I'm thinking, oh, like, it's not that great. I'm gonna not have some more. But he had like, I don't know, a lot, like 6 or 7 cups, you know. And the thing with Las Vegas, they recycle a lot of their water. And I feel like, especially in a hotel, it's different than maybe your own home. I don't know. But we went to the pool later on. We kind of sat by the pool. I went in the water. And we just wanted a relaxing morning. The wedding wasn't till like 3. We had to be ready at 3 p.m. At that point, it was like 8 a.m. You know, it was still kind of early. So we went to the pool. We lounged by the pool. I went in, and it's very, very cold. And I don't know if you know this, but in areas where there's a lot of heat, like the desert, They actually have pool coolers instead of heating the pool, you know, because it gets so hot that basically if you go into the water, it's bath water. So you have companies that actually cool the water. I'm thinking it's these giant ice cubes, but I don't really know. But this water was cold. And you could feel as if this wasn't a natural temperature because it's just always hot there most of the time. So we went to the pool. We decided to get breakfast and we hadn't eaten. We just had that tea, you know. So I was like really hungry and I saw the menu. There were pancakes, eggs. Like I love breakfast. Like I could eat breakfast any time of the day. So I get excited with eggs. And I wanted something sweet, like a pancake. But a stack of three pancakes was cheaper than getting single pancakes. So we got a stack of pancakes. He got his eggs. I got my eggs. And it was too much food. We were so stuffed. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that was like the best thing either. You know. But after that, we went to the room. And then later on, Rodolfo's saying, I'm not feeling well. I'm like, yeah, I guess we did overeat. Like, we had too much for sure. You know, so then he's, like, sitting on the couch. And he's starting to, like, get sweaty and not looking healthy. And I'm like, is this nerves? Like, what's going on? Is this because he's about to get married? You know, because I was feeling fine. I was feeling positive or relaxed. But then he was, like, not feeling good. And I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe he's nervous. Like, maybe this is that. And he's like, no. I don't feel well. It's in my stomach. And I thought, okay, he just ate too much. But then he's like, I have to throw up. Like, I'm getting ready. You know, I'm about to start my makeup and everything. I'm getting ready. And he's like, I need to throw up. So I leave the bathroom and I hear him throwing up and not good. You know, like I have thrown up. It doesn't happen a lot, but it has happened. Usually if I've been sick or something, had some sort of a bug. And this is what that sounded like. It didn't sound good. So I'm like, oh, wow. This is, you know, I hope it passes. Like maybe it is just nerves. I don't know. He comes out and he's like looking white, like he's not looking great. And then he says, okay, I feel a bit better. I'm like, okay. You know, meanwhile, I'm texting the photographer who's picking us up in like an hour. I say, can you please bring some orange juice? You know, he just threw up. He's not feeling great. So they're like, yes, definitely. And then it doesn't get better. Like he's not feeling great. He gets dressed. He has this really nice blue suit with kind of a like a teal tie. Like the combination goes really well. And I had this wedding dress that it's like very lacy and just pretty. You know, it's more fitted, but more of a casual dress. I didn't want like this big dress, but it has a train on it. And then I got it fitted like a few weeks prior where the person doing the alterations put a bustle on it and it just looked nice, you know. So I got a veil. I wanted it to look like we were getting married and traditional at the same time, just more low-key, not like a huge thing. I got these flowers, but they weren't real. They were artificial. It was an artificial bouquet because I was traveling with it. I just didn't want to stop at a florist. Or, you know, we didn't have our own car. We were using Uber. So I didn't care really that much about the flowers. I mean, I love flowers, but we were having an out-of-state wedding. So I thought, let me just get some nice artificial flowers. And I thought they were great, you know, so I did that. And I got my makeup together. Like, I feel like I looked nice. And we started walking through the hotel. You know, we were on the 15th floor. So just to get to the elevator is like a 6-minute walk, you know, because you're walking through the whole side of the pyramid. You get to the elevator walk down, you know, like go down, and it's a side elevator. It doesn't go straight down because, again, it's a pyramid. So it goes at a 39-degree angle. And when we first arrived at the hotel, it was a filled elevator. And this woman's like, oh, wow, it's 39 degrees. And Rodolfo and I looked at each other thinking, wow, that's a very exact number, 39 degrees. I'm like, how does she know? Is she bullshitting? And we kind of joked about that. But then later on, we saw, oh, there's a sign in the elevator where it says it goes at a 39-degree angle. But the thing is, this woman said it so confidently. She said 39 degrees so confidently. And we're like, really? Are you sure it's not like 42 degrees? But we didn't see the sign in the elevator. So, you know, but if you say something confidently, I feel like people don't question that because, oh, they must know what they're talking about, right? So anyway, we're in our whole wedding attire and we're walking through the casino, and these casinos are huge. So as we're walking, people are stopping. They're saying, congratulations. Oh, you look beautiful. They're saying to me, oh, you look amazing. Him, not so much. He's okay. You know, like joking. And then there's this guy in the back shouting at Rodolfo saying, don't do it. You know, it was very comical. It was very funny. And I'm thinking, who needs guests? You know, you've got hotel people like supporting you. And it was just very funny. So we're at the entrance waiting for the photographer, and he's not feeling that great. Like he's feeling a bit queasy. And this whole time people are passing us, everyone's saying congratulations. This one lady takes a picture with us, you know, and it was just like fun. The photographer shows up and she has the car super cold, which seemed to help having like a high AC, you know, at a cold temperature. And she drove us, this is the photographer's wife, she drove us to the Red Rock Canyon, which is about a 30-minute drive. I'm trying to give him orange juice. I'm thinking he needs some sugar just to help him. But he's like, no, no, no. Like, we get to the canyon, I see this trail that we have to walk up, and the officiant is waiting there at the top. But Rodolfo's like, I need to use the restroom again. So we're like, oh, okay. So he takes off his jacket. He takes all the important stuff off and he goes to the toilet. But meanwhile, now we're in a national park. So these toilets aren't traditional toilets. They're like those drop toilets, you know, where you can see what's going on in the toilet, like gross toilets. So he tells me later he vomited like three times the amount that he vomited before, you know, and I'm waiting for him, and the photographer starts taking pictures. And so, yeah, I was like, oh, wow, like what a day to be vomiting. Like, why today? So he comes back and he's saying, I feel so much better. I'm like, okay, like, are you ready? Are you ready to get married? And he says, yes. So we walk up this trail, and it's like a 5-minute trail, and I couldn't walk that fast because of my shoes, and my shoes kept getting stuck in the train, you know, like in the train of the dress, in the lace. So I'm like, ah, like, this is not good. I don't want to trip. So I was walking kind of slow. As we're walking, the photographer started playing the song Everglow by Coldplay. And I wanted to use Coldplay because that's the reason we met. You know, we met because I went to see a Coldplay concert. So I wanted it to be Coldplay, but I didn't think they would start playing the music already. You know, so they ended up playing the whole song. I really just wanted them to play the end so that when we get to the top, it's just as I'm walking toward him, you know, standing there. But it was, you know, whatever. Like, we were just walking and they started taking pictures. We get to the top. The officiant is there. I give her the envelope that I got from the marriage license bureau because she had to fill out some things to make it official. So anyway, they play the Coldplay music again. I walk, you know, Rodolfo's standing there, and she starts with the vows. She says a beautiful poem that I chose. I chose that poem. As a matter of fact, I happen to have it. So since this is the wedding episode, I suppose I should read the poem, or I feel like I'm going to read it. To Love Is Not to Possess by James Cavanagh. To love is not to possess, to own or imprison, nor to lose oneself in another. Love is to join and separate, to walk alone and together, to find a laughing freedom that lonely isolation does not permit. It is finally to be able to be who you really are, no longer clinging in childish dependency, nor docilely living separate lives in silence. It is to be perfectly oneself and perfectly joined in permanent commitment to another and to one's inner self. Love only endures when it moves like waves, receding and returning gently or passionately, or moving lovingly like the tide in the moon's own predictable harmony, because finally, despite a child's scars or an adult's deepened wounds, they are openly free to be who they really are and always secretly were. In the very core of their being, where true and lasting love can alone abide. And I felt like that was really important for me, you know, to have this poem. Even though, as we're facing each other and she's saying this, I don't know, there's just so many thoughts, you know, like I was happy. He seemed happy, even though he vomited like all morning. I just feel like this is a positive relationship. You know, it's not to control each other. It's not to own each other or possess. Like, we have our own lives. You know, we've been living our own lives and we came together and we found this love together. You know, and that's what a true relationship is to support each other and put each other on a pedestal. And that's what I've always wanted, you know, and that's what I've never, ever had. She said this poem, and then he wrote his vows. I wanted us to do our own vows. And up until the day before, we hadn't written them just because we'd been so busy. Like, everything was just this whirlwind. You know, I moved here. Oh, a week and a half later, let's go to Las Vegas. You know, everything has just been happening so quickly. So he wrote his vows, I think a day before, and I wrote mine the night before our flight. He had this small note paper. You know, he tore it off the notebook. What he wrote was beautiful. I have the vows because I kept them, but I'm not going to read them because whatever. All right, this is for us. So he said his vows, and then I pulled out this giant piece of regular A4 paper. And everybody laughed because his was like short and sweet and mine was like 2 pages. And he exaggerated later. You know, he's like, you pulled out this giant piece of paper, the front and back. And I'm like, I just wrote bigger. That's all. But I did write a little bit more. It doesn't matter. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
The officiant then bound our hands and we tied a knot into it, which just seals the deal. Basically, like, you're tied for life, even though that kind of sounds terrible saying it like that. And then the officiant said, you're now husband and wife. You may kiss the bride. We kissed. It finished with, Gigi's, how deep is your love? Because that's like an ongoing joke we have. And then he just loves that song. So as we're walking back down, the photographer is taking pictures, and as we're going back down, there's another couple coming up waiting to get married. And then we walk down toward the car, and there's another couple waiting to get married after this couple's done. So I had no idea how popular this site is, but it was really beautiful. I much preferred it to a chapel, you know, because we did see a lot of people getting married and coming out of these chapels. And then as we drove by some of these chapels, we saw it was a drive-through and you could get married with Elvis, so to speak. So the way we did it, I was really happy with. And the photographer took some really beautiful pictures. And then after that, the photographer drove us to the Las Vegas sign, and there was a really, really long line because everybody wanted their picture with this sign. So we went to the side instead of waiting in line. They just did it on the side. And then the photographer, I think, photoshopped some people out, which saved a lot of time. Like, after this whole thing, Rodolfo was feeling better, you know, because he was sick earlier on. From there, we relaxed for a little bit at the hotel room, but kept our clothes on because we didn't want to change. Just from there, we went to Nobu Restaurant, which is where we had made a reservation. And the food was really good. You know, it was mainly like sushi style. We did get some sushi rolls, but we got these mini tacos with a wagyu meat, which was very, very tender. We got some sashimi. You know what was really delicious? We got a miso sea bass. I believe it was sea bass. It was so juicy and absolutely delicious. Like, that was my favorite thing. And it just had a little bit of sweetness with the sweet miso. And then Rodolfo wanted a bowl of rice, so I ordered that. It's very comforting. You gotta have your rice. And it was like sticky rice, so it was delicious. We had the sweet miso fish with some rice, and then these other kind of mini appetizers and sushi rolls. And it was just delicious. Everything was so good. We finished with a dessert. It was actually a miso cheesecake. It had different layers. There was like a little citrus layer, then there was a salty miso caramel layer, and you had this crunch on the bottom, like a streusel crunch. And they wrote on the plate, "Congratulations." But it was funny because even though we were in our wedding outfits, people looked and said congratulations, but it wasn't a big deal because there's so much of that in Vegas. When people think of a couple just got married, it just makes them happy. For the most part, that we saw, most people, when they think of love, they think positively, you know, because everyone's had that feeling. Even if things didn't turn out great after, thinking back, like in life and relationships, marriage and deciding to get married, I think is a beautiful thing. People approached us in a very positive way. And as we were walking through the hotels, we still got the congratulations and just positive feedback. So after that whole day, we were just so tired, and the food was delicious, and this was in Caesar's Palace. And then we got a taxi back. These hotels are so far apart, you know, you don't want to walk, and especially I didn't want to walk in this outfit. And also, when you think something's close, it's not, because you can't even cross the street. You have to walk a few blocks to be able to cross the street because there's just so many people. So they built all these like bridges across the roads so that you can walk over to the next street. The foot traffic in Vegas is crazy. There's just so many people constantly walking from one hotel to the next. So we finally got to our hotel room, and it was just such a beautiful day. We had such a great time, and it was such a fun day. I mean, other than, you know, the vomiting. But everything was just beautiful, and I love that it was just the two of us. I really do. I thought in the past, if I ever got married again, I would want it just to be small. No drama, no fuss. That's what we did, and I'm so happy with that. And I love our rings. We got these tungsten wedding bands with a rose gold like line going through it. And then I think when we got back to the hotel room, I took a bath because we had this oversized bath, which I used like twice a day. I made full use of it, which I was super proud of myself for. And I think I fell asleep like in the tub for like 20 minutes. Don't worry, the water level wasn't crazy. Like, everyone freaks out when I say I fell asleep. I mean, this happens all the time. It's just relaxing. And then we stayed an extra day. The next day, we did a little bit of walking around. We went to the Venetian Hotel. And we looked at that giant sphere. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a giant sphere. And I thought you could just go inside of it, but you can't. They have actual shows in it. But then I researched the show, and there's one show playing. It didn't sound like too amazing, but the reviews on it weren't that great. To see a show, it's between $175 and $300. Like, it's a very expensive entrance fee for this show that's not, it's just on the screen, but it's on a sphere screen. Spherical, I guess you would say. But I just thought that's stupid. Like, that's too much money for something that's not getting these wow reviews. Do you remember when IMAX first started? I don't know if you're that old, but IMAX became a big thing, I want to say 2000, late 90s, and they made special shows just for the IMAX screen. It wasn't a regular movie like it is now. And that's the same how the Sphere is. They're making special kind of documentary style movies for the Sphere. And maybe down the road in the future, it'll end up being a regular movie that's playing on the Sphere. So when we saw you couldn't really do much at the Sphere, and also showtimes would be later, we decided to walk to the Venetian Hotel. And we had some cannolis and cappuccinos, and we just sat in the middle of this grand courtyard area. So I guess in Venice, like, I've been to Venice, and I forget what that main area, I think it's St. Mark's Place, and it's a huge, like, area surrounded by these old buildings and this beautiful cathedral, and then you see the water in front of you. And they did a mini version of that in the Venetian Hotel, which they did, like, a really cool job. Obviously, it's not as big as the real thing, but it's pretty cool. So we sat there and had a cannoli and walked around, and we just had a relaxing day. And I didn't mention when we first arrived, the first night when we got to Vegas, we saw the Cirque du Soleil show, Oh. And this show has been playing so long. I want to say since early 2000, kind of around the same time when Love, the Beatles show, Cirque du Soleil show, Love started playing. Anyway, Oh is set in water, and it's always been very expensive, so I never got the chance to see it. But we saw it, and it was amazing, and we were in the fifth row, so we didn't get splashed. A couple of drops here and there, but we got to see everything from the front. I was just so happy to finally be able to see this. And, you know, it's just amazing because the stages in Vegas, the theater is made for that show. So the stage, it'll be super deep water, and then it ends up being shallow, and they can change everything. And the stage goes back so far, so they have all these different layers for the different scenes. Anyway, it's hard to explain, but it was an amazing show, and I'm so happy I finally got to see it, because there's another water show in Vegas at the Wynn called Le Rêve, and I saw that years ago, which was incredible. I mean, to do this show twice a day, every day except for one day, is just amazing. I started to laugh a little bit during this show because we had just seen Knocked Up maybe, I don't know, a week prior to seeing the Cirque du Soleil. And I don't know if you remember Knocked Up, which again, I saw in the movie theater a long, long time ago. The two characters go to Vegas and they end up seeing a Cirque du Soleil show on mushrooms. Obviously, we weren't on mushrooms, but I just thought it was so funny in the movie. It made me giggle a little bit because Cirque du Soleil shows, they're one of a kind. And they're just so awkward. You know, the characters, they're all the same. You always have the two clown characters for the comic relief in between the scenes. But the main show is always for the incredible acrobatics. They did not disappoint. So yes, the main reason was just to have this wedding. And then later on that night, we decided to go to Fremont Street, which we'd never been to, and it's more the downtown Las Vegas. I usually always stayed on this strip. But it was kind of fun, actually. I mean, it was just like a few blocks, but it was only for pedestrians. And you see very funny characters, you know, like showgirls. You see, like, magicians, and there's all these people that want donations. But we went to this Thai restaurant there, which, of course, you know, anything Asian food-like, I'm going to love. And it was delicious. And we walked up and down Fremont Street, and we ended up going inside like an old school hotel, and I wanted to play roulette. So on the strip, depending on which hotel you're in, a minimum hand, like if I want to play roulette, just to play one time can be a minimum of $30, $20 or $30, depending on the hotel. But here in Fremont Street, it was a bit cheaper. So it was $10 for a minimum play. So I'm like, yes, I need to play here. And what I always do is, I didn't have any cash. Rodolfo had some cash and he got me $30 in chips. So from there, I started winning. You know, at first I do some red and black, like 50-50. But then I decided to go on the numbers. And I won. Three of my numbers won. One of them had two chips on it. So every time it lands on the number, you get whatever, how many chips you had, times 35. So I ended up at one point having $240, but it went back down to 110. Like I walked out with 110, which is pretty good for just having $30. So I didn't lose. This is why people just play, because of the adrenaline. There's a certain adrenaline. And as I was playing, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, this feels awesome. As we were in Vegas, we would take Uber rides, and everyone had their own story why they came to Vegas. Most people, it was they had this gambling addiction and they learned from it and then stayed away. And this one driver said every time he had this urge to go out and gamble, he would take the money he was going to use to gamble, like let's say it's $30, and he'd put it in a jar. At the end of each month, he'd take that money and he'd have thousands. And this he would have spent on slot machines. And he did win in between. Like he'd win in between and win a few thousand, but it's still less than he would have spent on it. Which I thought, oh, you know, that's smart. Like save your money. But it was fun to just gamble a little bit. I mean, considering how you make money, it's way slower than how you would spend it during gambling. And I know because my mom used to play the lottery a lot. Like every week, she'd put on like $100-something. And she did win a couple times, like a couple thousand. But she still spent more than she ever won. But I feel like when you go to Vegas, you're just there a few days. And that's it. Like, after a while, it's fun for going. Like, it's fun for that one thing. Like, seeing a show, you know, when we saw O at Bellagio. But I love to see, like, a show, have some good food. For a few days, it's entertaining. But then after that, it's like this vibe, like this sleazy kind of vibe, you know? Because you see people sitting at a slot machine the whole day. You'll see them in the morning when you go to the pool. And then when you come back at night from somewhere you ate, they'll still be there. And you're like, wow, like that is crazy. But everyone has their addiction, you know, like mine is sugar, which I'm working on actively, even though it's been more challenging now, like living together. But it's been better because I'm not working in a restaurant environment. So I've been eating less sugar. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you about our wedding, and it was beautiful. Yes, everything happened quickly, but so what? Like, so what? I just want to live to the fullest, make the most of everything. You know, I want to do it with this amazing person.
Translate that into your life. Whatever you think might be a risk or you might be nervous about doing, or your friends and family say, just wait. Think about how it feels to you. Does it feel right? Does it feel good? And does it make your life as a whole better? Does it uplift you? You know, that's what an addition to your life means as far as being in a relationship. Does it make your life better? If it causes more stress, if it causes more sadness, no, it does not make your life better. But if you're happy and if you're laughing a lot more and being uplifted, then it makes your life better. And that's how I feel.
Thank you for listening to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.